My guest today is Lindy Boone, the daughter of the legendary entertainer Pat Boone. Now, she has carved her own path as a singer-songwriter, advocate, and a beacon of hope. And in 2001, Lindy faced every parent's nightmare when her son Ryan Corbin suffered a traumatic brain injury in a devastating accident. And this tragic event propelled Lindy to the forefront of advocating for traumatic brain injury awareness and support. Now, alongside her family, she established a nonprofit organization, Ryan's Reach, that provides vital support and resources to those affected by brain injury. Now, Lindy continues to shine a light on the journey of recovery, offering hope and guidance to countless of individuals and families. And Lindy has recently channeled her creativity into music, releasing her very powerful, uplifting single, Word Layer. Recorded alongside her sisters Cherry, Debbie, and Lori, it is a testament to the enduring family bonds and healing power of music. And in the 1970s, some of you may remember Lindy and her sisters recorded pop covers and several Christian albums as the Boone Girls, including their Grammy Award-nominated First Class. So ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome our guest today, singer, songwriter Lindy Boone and her brand new single, Word Layer, to the show. Welcome, Lindy.
Hey, good to talk to you. Nice to meet you, Ward.
Nice to meet you, too. Well, was music a path of destiny for you because of your talented father, Pat Boone?
Oh, gosh. I think that you grow up in an environment where singing happens daily in the house and all around you. Yeah, probably was my destiny to be involved in music in some way. And I'm really glad that I've been able to enjoy it all my life.
Well, you know, I've been listening to your brand new single, Word Layer, which is a beautiful, very powerful song and one that can teach us a lot if we just take time to sit down and really listen to the words that you're bringing forth. Can you tell us about the inspiration behind this song, A Word Layer, and the significance of its title?
Sure. I went through a very tragic time of my life. I had a son named Ryan who, when he was 24 years old, engaged to be married, just setting out in his career, he went up to the roof of his apartment building and he stepped on a skylight and it broke and he fell three stories to concrete. So that was a moment in time that just divided my life in half. And I always reference, was that before the accident or after the accident when I think about my life? And it's been almost equal parts of his life from before the accident and since the accident, because it happened in 2001. So during the many years that followed, it was excruciatingly painful, but it's in our times of pain and suffering, I learned that you really develop some muscles that you didn't have before. And in the course of my journey with coping with sadness, and it's been loss, but not a complete loss. He's with us, but he has a TBI, he has a traumatic brain injury. And so it's been learning to adjust to the loss of Ryan on June 18th and adjusting to Ryan since June 19th. So, the journey's been a roller coaster. So you go through highs and lows. And so during that time, I know that I've grown as a human being, and empathy has grown in me, compassion has grown in me, and endurance, and all these things that if you're never challenged this way, they may never get that exercise and you might not develop that resilience. So the song Word Layer comes out of this very long journey. And I made up that word when I needed to get a Twitter account and promote a book that I wrote kind of about that journey. And the book was called Heaven Hears. And when I had to come up with that sort of username, I thought Word Layer. It just came into my mind because I was practicing being mindful of what I said. And I saw myself as laying down my words, much like a bricklayer would lay down bricks to form a sturdy foundation. Well, and so that's the title of the song and where the lyrics come from.
Well, what was the songwriting experience like putting this song together?
I love this story because probably few people have this same story about how a song comes to be. During COVID, my daughter Jessica, she's a great gift giver and she always gives me creative gifts. And people were not shopping in stores. And she gave me a card that said, "Mom, I bought you an experience." And on Airbnb, they're selling experiences right now because you don't go shopping. And I bought you the experience of writing a song with a Nashville musician. Now, I need to explain that I've been in music all my life and I've sung a lot. I have not written songs before this. I'd made some feeble attempts, but I thought I better come up with something to offer to this Zoom meeting I'm going to have with this young, turned out to be a young lady named Ann Buckle. And she was just trying to make ends meet during COVID as well. A lot of people were saying, I can sell my talent, and my talent is writing songs. So I joined up with her for a meeting, and I came to it as I anticipated it. I thought, I don't know what I'm going to bring to this collaboration. And I thought, she's going to probably write this whole thing. And I gave her, I came up with the title, and I thought, I better write down what I mean by word layer. And as I was writing down what I meant, it came out as lyrics. It literally became rhyme. And the first verse was written, and then the chorus, and then another verse. And I said, here, Anne, I offer you this as a starting place, and you change it. You're the songwriter. And she said, Lindy, I love these lyrics, and I don't want to change them. And she ended up on that call writing the melody. And we ended up with the song at the end of this meeting. I think I added the bridge later, but the verses and the chorus were written. She gave it to me as she just hung up the Zoom call. She played it on her guitar and recorded her voice, and she sent it to me by text. And that's how I had it originally. And I would play it for people and I would see tears well up in their eyes. I would have people say, "We've got goosebumps, Lindy. That is so beautiful." And I thought, oh, they love me. They're just being nice. But over the years, it kept happening. And she ended up saying, "Lindy, I'd like to go into the studio. I'm going to give you a proper demo." And she embellished it with her own instrumentation and harmonizing with herself. So I had that in my computer for about 3 years. And I would play it until I finally sang it at my church when I was asked to speak. And everybody rose to their feet. So it started to tell me there was something about this song that was resonating with people's experience. And I played it for my dad and for a guy, Dana McElwain, who runs my dad's record label. And he goes, "What are you doing with that song?" And I said, "I'm playing it for people from time to time." And we both felt like, no, we made a connection that this song should be recorded. And I thought probably by somebody else, but eventually I agreed that I would record it. And I'm so glad I did. And my sisters sang the background on this song, and they just sound so wonderful on it. And it was just a treat and a magical experience. And now it's out and people are able to get it and listen to it. And I am loving having it out in the world.
Well, the music video is beautiful, but I want to go through some of the lyrics because they are extremely powerful. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're kind of wavering in your faith, you need to understand that God spoke the world into existence. And right at the very beginning of this song, there are lyrics that say, "Speak into creation and build a new foundation." I love these words because the Bible tells us we have the power to speak to our mountains, call those things as though they are not, as not as though they were. And this whole song is something that it's almost like you're singing it to yourself to build up your own faith.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's something that I had to practice and I still do. Nobody is perfect at it. And we go through our days and our lives. And some days we're really walking in the center of God's presence, and you react to things one way, and then on another day you might react it a little differently, and it takes practice. But that's why I say a tragedy and a crisis will really get you to focus. Everything else falls away. All the other things become so unimportant. And I feel like I think C.S. Lewis said he talks to us, God talks to us. Oh, wait, he shouts to us in our pain. I can't remember the full quote. Talks to us in our something, and he shouts to us in our
No,
pain. And
I know what quote you're thinking of,
yeah, I wish I'm
and
going to look that up.
but you also there's another lyric in this song that people really need to gravitate to and really think about and just kind of keep it in their spirit at all times, that you wrote in the song, "Your words have superpowers. They can sweeten or they can sour." And we have a choice as to what they will do. And that is a very powerful lines in this song, which is why it's resonating with so many.
Yeah, because I think when I was learning this, was all surrounding my experience with Ryan and how did I meet the day? Was I going to speak the positive, and there wasn't a lot of positive in the beginning, or was I going to dwell on the negative and the dark things that I was hearing from doctors and observing with my eyes? But I was constantly reminded that what I say matters, and I would have to really dwell on what was good about today, and what can I be grateful for, and what can I report to people that's good and positive, and that allows you to kind of keep a record of the moments, the milestones, the victories. And I think that that is attractive in a metaphysical way, attracting more good and more victories. And I think it is biblical, but I also hope that people that don't share my worldview and my Christian mindset can also recognize that their words are powerful too, and they take us one direction or another. They're very rarely just benign. And so my dad is always a very positive speaking person. I think I grew up around that. My mom, full of faith, and she was there throughout all of this. So I had good role models. But I think personally, when challenged, it makes it your very own. And you kind of go back to basics and you say, what do I believe? And do I believe this, or were they just telling me that? And I've experienced the trueness of it and how you can manifest a better outcome. You manifest it. Sometimes it's not what you envision. So I might have envisioned Ryan being well and whole and 100%. But what I was speaking was healing and restoration and hope and blessing and purpose and all these things that I can see even in Ryan's wheelchair. There's been so much healing. There's been so much purpose in his life. There's been so much good that has been done in the aftermath of Ryan's accident. And I think when you trust your creator, I just, in my song, I said, spend some time with your creator. I want people to just, that believe that they are not all there is. There's a creator behind your being here. And spend some time with your creator. And are you grateful that he made you? There's so much, background in the song that the lyrics kind of sprung out. And they just happen to become lyrics to a song. But it's really what God has been impressing in me for 23 years since Ryan's accident.
Well, there's nothing in this, nothing is made in this world without the approval of the Lord. But you put a warning in this song, which I loved because it's about being careful with what we say. We now live in a society where people are using their words, especially in social media, to either hurt someone or to maybe uplift or encourage someone, but you give that warning in this song in a very beautiful way that we do need to be very careful with what we say. We need to think before we speak. And in today's time, we need to think before we type and send.
Their words going out there. And I know that I've often said, especially since the song came out, that you were raised as a little kid, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, that isn't true. I can get very hurt by words, and sometimes very viscerally. I feel like, oh my gosh, that really hurt. And so I have always tried to, if I am upset, take a pause, think through it. Sometimes if things are emotional, it's good to write things out and get it on paper, read it and go, is that really what I mean? Is that really what I want to say? Can I say it a little softer? And I think that it would be really good right now for people to pause, take a breath, and think about the impact of what they say before they type stuff into that internet where it lives and doesn't disappear. And you just don't know the ripple effect of the things that you might say. So kindness, that's my highest value right now, is be kind. And try to put yourself in somebody else's position and see if you can help them, even if they've tweaked you, even if they've said something that's wounded you, instead of coming back at it with some harsh retaliation. Try to understand that hurt people, and maybe you can be a healing balm on that person that has used words carelessly, and see if you can diffuse a situation. So yeah, I think that in the lyric, it's, you know, instead of walls, build hospitals, because we need each other. We need each other. So we don't want to divide. We want to heal.
Amen to that. Now, I know that you recorded this song with your sisters at Starstruck Studios. How did that experience connect you with the legacy of your family's music, especially in the context of your father, Pat Boone?
Yes, it really felt like all the years that were in between the last time we recorded and then this time, it just kind of evaporated, and it felt so comfortable and wonderful to be in a recording studio. We did so much recording in our teens and early 20s. And so that was such a part of our lives. We recorded a lot. There were a lot of songs that were hoping to be the female Osmonds or something. We had a lot of pretty fun music out there, and they made it onto some of Debbie's albums. Some of the things that we did, they were remakes and nostalgic songs even back then. And then of course we did a lot of contemporary Christian music, which meant a lot to us, and three different albums, and one of them was nominated for a Grammy. So that was a big part of our growing up years and becoming young women before we branched out and had families and moved to different states. And Debbie's career continued. I joined a singing group in my 30s and had a lot of fun singing and performing with them. But then to be at this stage of our lives, we are all grandmothers, and we come together and sing this song. And we've all been through our stuff. You know, this song resonates with anybody that's lived long enough. You're going to have the truth of this song kind of resonate, because you've had some trials and tribulations by the time you've gotten to this stage. So it was, first, we love each other. We talk every week on a Zoom call, the four of us, and we are best friends still. Over all these years, I'm so grateful for how Zoom became something that we all got to utilize. I'm talking to you through the internet, and wouldn't have been comfortable with that before COVID, but we all had to learn to connect that way. And we just continued. And every Friday we have our Zoom call together. But to be in the same place is rare, because we live in three different states and have busy lives. And I was so glad that we could coordinate our schedules. And then our dad was going to be there, but he ended up having an accident where he broke his hip, had surgery, and he still made it. 3 weeks after that, he still flew out to be at our record session. And that's what you kind of see the reaction he had to what we had recorded when he listened to it. He's 89, he's going on his 90th birthday coming up, and he's healthy and he's well, and he's the fastest healer from that hip replacement. But he is a softie, and the longer time goes by, he needs a Kleenex to dab his eyes. And that's what was going on when he was hearing our song in the studio. And you see that in the video, and it just is very moving.
You know, he is one of the most energetic people. I had the honor of interviewing your father last year, and what was supposed to be a relatively short interview ended up being a little bit more than 2 hours. I will always remember it forever. It was such an incredible honor. And he, you know, of course, you know, your father is an incredible storyteller, loves the Lord like no one I've ever seen. And for you and even your sisters, what was it like growing up with your father being this, not only a singer, he was an actor, and then, you know, really kind of living in that celebrity neighborhood lifestyle? I mean, were the movie stars coming in and out of the house on a regular basis?
I wouldn't say that, but there were people that maybe are recognizable that became very good friends of theirs over the years. I know Chuck Woolery and Joanne Flug, they were very close with my parents, and Gavin McLeod and his wife, and Dean Jones. These are all names a lot of people aren't going to remember, but they were recognizable people that they were very good friends with. I wouldn't say they were in and out all the time, but we got to meet a lot of people along the way, and we were on the movie star maps, so buses of people would be going by and looking up at our bedroom windows. And that was probably unique to our experience that not everybody shares. But in Beverly Hills, there's an awful lot of celebrity kids there too. And we went to a private girls' school, and there were other, you know, kids who had famous families. And we were in a neighborhood where Debbie ended up marrying Gabriel Ferrer, who is the son of Rosemary Clooney and Jose Ferrer. And so they were just a few blocks away. And so, yeah, there were definitely a lot of, you know, crossing paths with people that were in the entertainment business, of course.
You know, it was funny because Pat would tell me he was a very protective father over his girls.
Oh,
and
yes.
And he told me that it was so funny because when we did the interview, after it was over, he comes back and he goes, "Hey, did I happen to mention such and such?" And it was about a song that he had written and recorded. So I just reached over and hit record. So I have this whole other section that we added to the interview. But what I remember, which was so very, very sweet, was that he loves each and every one of you with all of his heart. He looks, watches over y'all. He told me, he goes, "I want this interview to be, in a way, a legacy, so my family and even my grandchildren can watch it." And I'm like, "Pat, you don't slow down. Every day is a new work day." And he reminds me of the quote that Clint Eastwood always says. When someone asks him, "Clint, how do you keep going at your age?" Because I think Clint's like 93. And Clint goes, "Every morning when I wake up, I don't let the old man in." And I'm thinking, that's Pat.
Ah, that is true. Yeah, I think Daddy just has so many ideas. His mind is always active. And he has a very high IQ, and he's been able to manage so many things simultaneously. I think it's the people working around him that go a little crazy because he has so much going on, and they're trying to wrangle him and make sure he gets to his next thing, and make sure that he doesn't overcommit, because he sees potential in so many things from business opportunities and investments to music to being, he still, gets asked to be in movies and has been in movies. And there's just so many things that look promising, and he wants to be a part of it all. But he also likes to write music and songs and books. And so he never slows down. He's always got something out there that, oh, I just have to make sure I finish that, and that will get you up in the morning.
Indeed, it does. Now, when you and your sisters were in the studio together, I'm sure that it brought back tremendous memories of the Boone Girls. Did it ignite anything new that maybe y'all would ever come back together for more songs, maybe even an album?
Boy, that's a great question. Debbie has a career that's her solo career. It would have to be able to make sense to her. And also, we all have our grandkids in different states, and we're pretty attached as grandparents, as the babysitters that get called upon, and we love it. So it would, I would never say never. I thought it was such a great experience getting in the studio. I think everything sounded like we can still do this. We still sound good singing together. So I'm not going to say no. Let's see what happens
When I
with
watch
this.
the yeah, because when I watched the music video of your song Word Layer, my first thought was, is there a future album coming with all of them singing? Because everyone's voices are ageless.
Well, thank you. I think we sound good together. Debbie has that strong solo voice. We always gave her the lead because she had the highest voice and the most piercing voice, and really the desire to do it for her career. The rest of us had fun while we were doing it all together. I never felt like I was a soloist, but I did love it so much that when I got asked to be in a group, I got to be in another group called the New Chordettes, and I slid into the spot where another gal was leaving, and I felt like I was in heaven because I was singing with three other women again. We were doing tight harmonies, and I loved that. And we got to travel. I got a microphone and a stage and a sequin dress. And I had so much fun. And they would give me a solo from time to time. And I thought, oh, I'm used to doing the harmonies. And so I had to do a Patsy Cline medley. And that was scary because I wasn't the one that normally would sing lead. But then I did it enough that I started to go, I kind of like this. This is fun. So I have kind of the lower register. And I think in Word Layer, it was right in my comfort zone of where to sing. And but there's nothing better than singing with my sisters. Love you, Cordette ladies. I love you so much. But there's something about singing with family.
Well, in the song Word Layer, the melody is so beautiful. I mean, even right now, I can hear you singing the song, because what I love about the song, and to me, what is a signature for a hit song, is that if you listen to it once, and then right when you start to listen to it a second time, it's almost like you already start knowing the words. So once you start getting hooked and singing along with it, any song that sticks in your head, that is a hit song. And I think Word Layer is a hit song.
Hey, I was so moved the other day. I love hot yoga. And I was in a hot yoga class. And at the end, when everybody was laying still and resting in Shavasana, the yoga instructor put on Word Layer. And everybody in there just relaxing at the end of their workout, just listen to the words in silence. And I walked out on a cloud because it just was like, oh my gosh, she played my song. She knew me and she knew it was my song. But the other ladies in there didn't. And they came out wanting to know, what was the name of that song? Where can I hear it again? And I was just so excited that I thought, this is happening. This is so wonderful. People really do respond to the lyric and the beautiful arrangement musically. It just all came together at Starstruck with Jimmy Nichols and Frank Myers. The two of them really put together the arrangement vocally and instrumentally. And so all together, the elements were aligned. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. There's just so many things that had to fall into place for that to happen.
Well, I'm sure that the fans will want it to happen. I know that many people who will hear this very powerful song, A Word Layer, are going to beg for more. But I have to ask you, Lindy, that the Boone family has been actively involved in raising awareness and the support for TBI survivors through Ryan's Reach. Can you share with all of my viewers and my listeners, what is the mission behind Ryan's Reach and its impact?
The overall mission was to assist other TBI survivors and their families. So we felt like we had so much attention and a spotlight on us in the first year and a half after Ryan's accident, because when something like that happens in a celebrity family, there's a lot written about it. And it was an ongoing long journey, because with TBI, with traumatic brain injury, Ryan was in a very long coma, and it wasn't a fast recovery to the degree that he's gotten to now. It took years. And Larry King had us on his program, Larry King Live, 5 times in the first year and a half. And so a lot of people around the world were following the progress, the little baby steps that Ryan was taking, coming out of the coma, eventually being able to have facial expression and get his voice to, well, actually on all those programs, Ryan hadn't gotten his voice back, but he started to have understanding, and he could nod and he could mouth a word. And it was something that captured a lot of people as we were living it. And so eventually we thought, now that we've kind of established a new normal and a rhythm of life, it felt like we needed to do something with this attention. It wasn't all supposed to be for Ryan. Ryan was being taken care of. He received a settlement. We had the funds to be able to get him the therapy that he needs, and even caregivers to help us take care of him. So we thought, what could we do in our gratitude to be able to help other people with traumatic brain injury that are not celebrities and don't have that spotlight on them? And so we started to do fundraisers, and we would raise money, and we decided to turn that money into funds for therapy for people that could go to a place called High Hopes Head Injury Program. We started to provide scholarships for people that were out of funds and insurance has stopped, because eventually your insurance runs out, or they decide you're not making enough progress, they cut you off from more therapy. And what we knew from Ryan having a slow recovery, that that he was still progressing even after the time insurance was saying he's done. He made a lot of progress after that, but we had some money to be able to pay for that therapy. So we wanted to be able to make that happen for other people. We've been doing that for 20 years. High Hopes is in Tustin, and so we've made scholarships available there. But then we started to notice a few years back, about a little over 10 years ago, that there was a need that wasn't being met. And for traumatic brain injury survivors, there wasn't a concentrated effort to provide group home living if parents couldn't take care of them. And so they would be placed in a home for the elderly. So there'd be one traumatic brain injury survivor in a home for the elderly. But if they were young, like Ryan, that would have just seemed so sadness upon sadness. So I kept talking about it with other mothers and fathers. And eventually my husband, who's a lawyer and a businessman, he decided, okay, I'm going to look into what's involved in starting group home. And so he did figure it out. Thank God for Mike Michaelis and the work that he has put in. The two of us and everybody on our board, but the two of us have really been the workhorses to start these two group homes that we have, Ryan's Reach R&R. That stands for residence and respite care. So we provide residence for 4 or 5 residents in a home, and also have an extra space to hold people that need a break. So if the families are able to take care of their loved ones, but they're exhausted and they need a vacation, or they need to go into the hospital themselves for something, or we can have their loved one, if it's a fit, we have to go through a process, but provide respite care for the families. So we have two of those homes now.
You know, that's an area that that seems to be forgotten, and that is the health of the caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even with parents that have special needs kids, it seems like they never have time away to recharge, to live life a little bit, maybe take a vacation where, you know, maybe the special needs kids, it's very, very difficult. Maybe they're bedridden in a way. So with what you're providing through Ryan's Reach, that is just phenomenal. And I can't even imagine how thankful and grateful many of those families are for that.
I think that we've been able to do a good thing, and I hope that we're able to open more homes, or other people will duplicate what we've done, because there's two homes. There's an awful lot of people in the category that need them. And so my prayer and what I am laying out with my words is that there will be more group homes, and that they'll be able to operate. We've proven the concept that we can do it. It's difficult because with brain injury, there's behavior issues a lot of times, a lack of memory, sometimes seizures. There's issues. But if you have trained staff and you're doing this knowing that you've got kind of a passion and a heart for it, I think that they're needed. And for me and my husband, we've gotten so much gratification. It hasn't been for us financially, and Ryan doesn't get any of the money that we raise because he's well cared for. But we've been tapped, you know, like, start this. And it just felt like we were capable, and we've put a lot of hard work into it. And to see it materialize is very much what my song is about. There's new life, life after death, and you can create something that is good in your mind and then start talking about it. You'll be amazed how partners come to you when you start talking about it.
Amen to that. And ladies and gentlemen, Lindy Boone's song Word Layer is extremely powerful. It's uplifting. If you are dealing with sickness, disease, maybe there's an injury, maybe you lost your job, maybe you feel at this moment that you're losing a bit of hope. Well, hope starts in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that life and death reside in the tongue, and we reap what we sow, but that goes back to what comes out of our mouth. When you listen to the words of Word Layer, you're going to be uplifted. You're going to be encouraged. Your faith will start to grow. It's like Jesus said, it only needs to be the size of a mustard seed. And remember, a mustard seed can grow into a very big tree. And sometimes it just needs to start someplace. So you need to listen to the song Word Layer by Lindy Boone, and you will start to see hope arise within you, and when it rises in you and out of you, everything around you is going to start to change. And remember, as Lindy said in her song, we have the choice. So speak words of positivity and faith into your life, into your situation, and things will happen. It's just like Jesus said, speak to the mountain. We have that power. And Lindy, I guess, so can a lot of people head over to, I know that your Instagram is Lindy Boone Music, and then
yes,
also at Ryan's Reach, ryansreach.com. And if people want to make a donation, they can donate there?
Certainly, yes. We have that donate button, and it all goes into helping people with traumatic brain injury. And if you go over to Lindy Boone Music, I even posted, Ryan has learned Word Layer. He sang it with me the other night. And I posted that so you can see Ryan. I mean, that's a miracle right there that he can learn a song, sing it, and he understands what he's saying.
Amen to that. And Lindy, I want to thank you so much for sharing your brand new song, A Word Layer, with us today, Ryan's story, and bringing forth so much hope to so many people today.
Thank you for having me. I love talking about it, and I really loved our conversation. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, again, head over to iTunes, head over to Spotify, listen to the song Word Layer, and you're going to be like me. You're going to listen to it more than once because you're like, oh, because there's lyrics there that will be, encourage you. I even took time to write down some of those lyrics to remind me to, well, whatever comes out of our mouth can change our life. And hey, be like Clint Eastwood. Don't let the old man in. Don't let the bad man in. Don't let the sick person in. You are full of life. And live it more abundantly because the Lord is right there with you. He's only a prayer away. And in a way, the song Word Layer is a prayer put to melody. And it's a beautiful one at that. And again, Lindy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ward. It's been a pleasure, honestly.
You're very welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for watching and listening. And remember, head over to ryansreach.com and also become a fan and follow Lindy Boone on Instagram as well as Facebook, Lindy Boone Music. Hey, I'm already following. Oh, go ahead.
I just said share it out. Share this song with your friends.
That's right. Share it. That's right. Let's get this song, ladies and gentlemen. Let's all work together to get this song to go viral because there's a big blessing by sharing because somebody out there needs to hear the words to this song today. So again, I want to thank all of you for watching and listening, and I'll see you next time.